You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, good morning again and welcome to Riverside. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around here. And this morning we're continuing our sermon series we're calling Know, Be, Do Together. Those four words in the banners right there, they are the anchors of our church's new mission statement, which is the longer version, Know Jesus Intimately, Be Transformed by the Spirit, Do Mission with God. We do it together. Know, Be, Do Together. And this fall, we're talking a lot about this mission and how it's going to really play out for our church, more than just a thing on a website, more than just a little slogan on a shirt. This is really our anchor of what we're going to do and what we're going to be as a church. And this week, we're looking at that second phrase there, the second phrase of be transformed by the Spirit. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret. My kids and my wife will know this right away, but when I'm stressed, when I want to take my mind off the pressures of life, sometimes I watch YouTube clips. And my boys back there going, sometimes. Sometimes I watch sports clips, usually boxing. I'll watch some of the Tyson Fury boxing highlights when I get home today. I'll watch some boxing clips. Sometimes I'll watch some sort of scientific clips to kind of, you know, explain how something's made or how something's done. But there is one category of videos that I'm somewhat embarrassed to tell you that I watch. But I'm going to. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. See, when I am stressed out, when I want to take my mind off the pressures of life, sometimes I watch YouTube videos of bad preaching. I don't know why. I'll pull up these videos of bad preachers, and sometimes I'm sure it's because I'm shallow. It's probably because I'm a very insecure guy, but I watch these and I get cheered up. Isn't that weird? It's so weird. I've got issues. I've got major issues. But what I wanted to do is show you a very short clip of a much longer clip of one of the examples of bad preaching that I'm talking about. Take a look.
Son, don't go to sleep while I'm talking. Hey, don't you lay your head back. I'm important. I'm somebody. Now, I love you. You know I love you. Have I convinced you I love you? You better nod your head. Yes, all right. Come on, put it right there. All right, you stay awake and you listen to me. And where have you been, Mr. Underwood? And I noticed on the calendar I'm supposed to marry y'all. What makes you think I'd marry you? You're one of the sorriest church members I have. You're not worth 15 cents. You, sir, stand up, big boy. Do you know I love you? Mm-hmm. All right, give me. I'm the real deal. Uh-huh. All right, I know you. Are y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room? Good. We're having trouble in the video room. And that video room ain't going to be a youth hangout. Message is, and you wouldn't go about establishing your own kingdom in the video room. I really feel good now.
And there's loads of that on YouTube, by the way. And I watch them, and I just feel good about myself. I don't know why. But can you imagine, there are some people in our country and in this world that actually subject themselves to that sort of preaching and that sort of formation every single week. Regularly, there are people in the church who submit themselves, and they're shaped in judgment and in meanness and challenging pastors saying, I'm the real deal. And I think, is that what Jesus came to produce? Is that what Jesus came to produce? And sadly, there are many churches and preachers like that, but shouldn't following Jesus make a bigger difference in someone's life? I mean, shouldn't following Jesus make people more loving? At the very least, shouldn't following Jesus keep pastors from like threatening their congregation, right? But let's be honest, it's not just pastors, right? It's not just those churches down the street. I often ask myself this question, why do so many people in the church, and honestly, even some people in this church, never seem to change? I mean, why do so many Christians never seem to grow? They're part of a church, but year after year, they struggle with the same things, this pattern of bitterness, this pattern of anger, this pattern of sin. Why do so many Christians that I know never seem to change? And friends, we rationalize this. We make excuses. We say things like, well, after all, we're just human. You can't expect perfection. We're all sinners. And we rationalize people not changing, people not growing. But friends, when you read the words of Jesus, when you read the words of the broader scriptures, there's this expectation. There's this expectation. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you're a person who's being changed. You're a person in the process of being transformed. And how that process happens is what we're going to talk about this morning. How we are to be transformed by the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at this by opening up to Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, open up there. And before we read today's text from the Bible, let's acknowledge that God's presence is here with us today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds for what it is He has for us. Would you pray with me? Oh, Holy Spirit, would you open up my heart? Inform me, God, let I not be a judgmental guy, passing judgment on other pastors and other ministries. And God, I want to be transformed myself. We want to be transformed. We know that comes from your Spirit, that comes from community, that comes from yielding to your word. It comes from your work in our lives. So we say, come and have your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, to start off, I'm going to do something that I typically hate when other preachers do this. I do not like when other preachers do this, but I'm going to do it. It won't be like the guy in the video. Don't worry about it. But I'm not a big fan when preachers use big theological terms because they throw these big theological terms, and it's somewhat intimidating, right? It sometimes makes the preacher feel smart and everyone else feel small. So I very rarely use big theological terms, but for this message, I think I do. I'm going to give us two theological terms that I really think will be helpful. So don't check out. This won't be too long, but I think it will be helpful. You see, when we talk about this process of being transformed, becoming more like Jesus, the process of becoming more like Jesus, we're talking about this process that's called sanctification. Okay? Sanctification is when your whole person is gradually transformed to look more like Jesus and to love more like Jesus. You gradually become more like Jesus. You become sanctified. We're going to see that in Galatians chapter 5 today. Now, there's another term that's often used. It's actually found a lot in the beginning of Galatians. It's a theological term called justification. For example, in Galatians 2:16, we read this. Now that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but they're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too, we put our faith in Jesus Christ so that we may be justified by faith in Christ. And not by the works of the law. We're justified by Christ in faith and not by the law. Because by the works of the law, no one's been justified. And there's this word justified used over and over again in the beginning of Galatians. The term justified is based on what Jesus has done. When we are justified, it means we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven because of Christ. It means He's taken our sin and our shame upon Himself. So instead of us paying that penalty, He's already done that. So I want to give you a quick chart that kind of describes the difference between justification and sanctification. Okay, here's the chart. If justification is you're freed from the penalty of sin, sanctification is freed from the power of sin. You gradually become free of the power of sin against you that's working in you. If justification is Christ's work for us, what He did for us on the cross, sanctification is the Holy Spirit's work in us, working in us. If justification is God's declaring us righteous status, you are righteous, Keith, well then sanctification is actually I become more righteous in how I live and how I love, right? And if justification is God's finished work on the cross, sanctification is God's continuing work in me and how I love, how I love the world, how I love you all, how I minister. You see, justification is this once and for all event. God did it. Christ did it. It's He declares us right with Him because of faith in the resurrection of Christ. And the moment we trust in Christ and give our allegiance to Him, our faith in Him, we're declared forgiven. Galatians 2, a person is not justified by the works of the law. They're justified by their faith in Jesus Christ. It's justified. But sanctification is now this ongoing process which begins from the initial time of faith, and it will continue on till your very last breath. And it's the work of God that happens in the middle, along the way. And friends, here's the deal. Here's a very, very sad part about the church these days. Most churches reduce salvation. They reduce being a Christian to just justification. Many people say, well, if you say a prayer, then you're justified. And that's all that matters. It's all it's it. But friends, salvation, being a Christian, it includes sanctification. It must include sanctification. You have to hold both together, both justification and sanctification. Those two things cannot be separated. But so many churches, they have stressed justification, which is important, okay? Justification is very important. Christ's work on the cross from outside of us, his finished work on the cross, the resurrection, it's very important. But they've done that at the neglect of sanctification, which is the result is Christians don't expect to change. We don't expect change. We don't anticipate change. We don't expect change. We don't expect real life change. We're okay with preachers that are mean. We kind of laugh at a video like that, but we don't go, there are people sitting underneath that teaching. And we know Christians, it might even be us, that after decades and decades of walking with Christ, we're as angry and as bitter as a decade ago. And we're anxious and we're stingy. And we don't expect transformation because we focus so much on the justification that we don't focus on becoming more like Jesus, on being transformed. We don't expect it. But it's both. We need both. We need both. And if we look at chapter 2 of Galatians, we saw this quick snapshot of justification. I want us to now go forward and look at Galatians chapter 5 to see what being transformed by the Spirit looks like, what this process of sanctification will look like. And I'm done with the big words now. Okay? But Galatians chapter 5 to see what being transformed looks like. Here we go. Verse 16. So I say to you who've been justified, to you who put your faith in Christ, to you who are not justified by the works of the law anymore, but are justified by faith in Christ. That was the first four chapters, right? So I say to all of you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That still happens to be there after you're justified. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, well, then you're not under the all. And the acts of the flesh, they're obvious. We all know the acts of the flesh are. It's like sexual morality. It's impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and discord and jealousy and this is me, fits of rage and selfish ambition and dissension and factions in the church and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. And I warn you as I did before, that those who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the continuing work of the Spirit of God in your life, the fruit that will come is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against such things there is no law. There's no law. It's grace. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh with his passions and desires, and since now we live by the Spirit, let's continue to keep in step with the Spirit. Since we've been justified, now the Spirit's in us, let's continue to keep in step with the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, though, by all this, which is very easy to do, provoking and envying each other. So verses 19 and 21 talk about the negative things, right? Sexual morality, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and envy. And I don't know about you, but when I look at my heart, when I know my heart, when I look at it and my motives, there are parts of me that look like that list of vices, right? There are parts of me that honestly are like those list of vices. I mean, if you got to see me in my very worst moments, you might not come back to this church. You really might not. I mean, there have been times where my anger is raging to the point where I'm yelling at my kids. I'm short with my wife. Even my dog, Hank, who's perfect, gets the evil eye. I mean, I am so angry, and I'm so mad, and I'm so petty. But then 6 p.m. rolls around, and people show up to my house for home group. And then, hi, guys. Happy Pastor Keith is here, who's got it all together, right? And my wife and my kids look at each other and they go, what a poser. He is such a poser. They do. They do. I mean, it's not just, is this just me? If it's just me, let me know. And it's fine, but I think it's a little of you. I know most of you. You're all like that too. Come on. And this is the reality. I mean, I'm a poser. And verse 16 says this, I have these desires of the flesh, and this flesh in me still desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. And really, a simple definition of the flesh is when we try to operate independent of God. It's when we go up front and say, I can do this on my own, God, I'll do it on my own, and that never works out, and I become angry and bitter and selfish ambition, and it's not good. We try to find meaning and pleasure apart from God. And we all do this. We all do this, which is why people even in the church still tend to be angry at times and prone to gossip at times and lie and hold grudges and don't forgive. I mean, we've been justified, amen? But there's still this flesh in me and this pull towards darkness. And friends, look, I could talk a lot about that, right? I mean, but do I have to? I don't think you need me to talk a lot about that list. I mean, can we all agree, even of those of us who've been justified by the finished work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection, all of us still have that pull to return to living in the flesh on our own and in our own ways. So I'm not going to talk a lot about that list. Instead, I want to call us to look at the alternative, okay? And the alternative is what we state in our mission. Well, then be transformed by the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, there's many phrases that point to this transformation process. For example, this passage calls us to walk by the Spirit. Don't walk by the flesh. Don't live by the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. It calls us to be led by the Spirit. And if we do this, there'll be this fruit in our lives by the Spirit. And again, well then again, Keith, live by the Spirit. And by the way, keep in step with the Spirit. And so how do we change? How do we become more like Jesus? Well, you walk with the Spirit, and you're led by the Holy Spirit. Then it takes effort, it takes focus, it takes intentionality on our part. Verse 17 makes it clear. I mean, justification happens outside of us, right? It's our faith and allegiance to Christ, but it happens outside of us. But this happens in us. There's this war. There's this pull between the flesh and the Holy Spirit, and we have a role. Which one are you going to feed, and which one are you going to starve? You're going to feed the Spirit's voice and starve the flesh. You're going to feed the flesh and starve the Spirit. It's one or the other. And friends, change is not automatic, because if it were, churches would not be filled with angry, irritable, petty, jealous, unforgiving, lustful people. It's not automatic. It's not. It's not automatic. So what I'm going to do the rest of this time is kind of take one of the phrases and talk about it. I'm going to take one of the phrases from this passage and talk a little bit more about how the sanctification happens using this picture from the passage. And it's this picture of this, which is, it says, we're to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, there's this picture of walking all over the Bible. Walking is all over the Bible to describe this life of faith. The life of faith is described so often as walking. For example, Genesis chapter 5. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. And it's all over the New Testament as well, this picture of walking with God and walking by the Spirit. Walking is a very helpful picture to describe the life with God. You see, this picture of walking, it describes a journey and a destination, right? Being a Christian is not just being justified and holding on until you die. Most people think the Christian life is, I'm justified and I'm going to hold on until I die and I got punched my ticket to heaven. But no, a Christian is walking with God, transformed by the Spirit, walking daily with the Holy Spirit towards mission and towards transformation, towards both, towards the mission of God and towards being transformed. See, as followers of Jesus, we're going somewhere. And walking is a perfect picture of the Christian life. So in light of that, I want to make some observations about walking. Here's my first observation. For the vast majority of people in the world, if you're not disabled, okay, and I understand some people are disabled and walking would be just a miracle. But for the vast majority of people, if you're not disabled and you're over the age of one, you can walk. right? You're going, wow, that's deep, Keith. Walking's not that spectacular. Can I just say that? Walking's not that amazing. I mean, pretty much everyone in this room can walk unless they're disabled. And again, that's really tough. But for the vast majority of people, walking's unspectacular. There's nothing amazing about walking. Look, I'm a pastor. So people love to come up to me. Hey, Keith, Johnny turned one. Can I show you a video of Johnny? Sure. And I watch this video, and Johnny's taking his first couple steps. And I say, wow, that's amazing. Wow. But inside I'm thinking, dude, it's a kid walking. Seen this before. Can you imagine if I took my phone out and said, guys, my 17-year-old Hunter, he's walking. Look, Hunter, I call him my Huggle Bear. Huggle Bear, he's walking. Huggle Bear's walking. And you're like, Keith, not spectacular. It's not. Now, if Huggle Bear was breakdancing, that'd be pretty cool. But friends, there's nothing spectacular about walking. It's an everyday, normal part of life. And I think it's a great picture of the process of becoming like Jesus. Because most of the time, the process is not spectacular. I hate to tell you this, friends. Most of the time, walking with God is not this spectacular. Most of the sanctification process is not this spectacular thing. And here's what I mean. Let me give you a picture of this. I love hearing stories of deliverances. I've met people in this church who've been instantly and miraculously delivered from things like alcohol addiction and sexual addiction. And I love hearing these stories of God instantly changing. I've met people who have that testimony. And that testimony of instant healing is amazing, and it's powerful, and it's real. And praise God. But for every one of them who have that story, there's 99 others who've had to go through the unspectacular process of going to recovery groups, joining a support group, receiving weekly prayer, prayer in a home group, prayer on Sunday morning, and going to counseling. And sometimes we only share the testimonies of the deliverances, which does a disservice to the 99 who have rather ordinary, unspectacular stories of battling through habits and fighting over addictions and fighting over the apathy towards the things of God. Most of us are not instantly delivered. No, we go through the unspectacular process of walking. It is not spectacular. It's just walking. It's just walking. Which leads to my next thought then about this picture from the Bible, which is walking is real slow, right? Walking is a slow thing. I mean, if I said go walk home today, you'd be like, that's going to take forever. I mean, and think of this, meaningful change in our lives is typically a slow process, right? We take three steps forward, but then we fall back again, and we're battling depression again, or gluttony again, or anxiety, or jealousy, or bitterness. And this change in our lives, it seems to happen so slowly, right? And sometimes I wonder, am I even changing at all? Am I even becoming like Jesus at all? Is this even working? But if we're walking with God, if we're being transformed by the Spirit, it is happening. It's just walking is slow. It's unspectacular, and it's slow. It's similar to how a kid grows. Imagine you have a five-year-old kid, okay? A five-year-old. Five-year-old's growing, right? And you stare at them for 3 hours. Right? You're not going to see much growth, right? You're just not. Nothing. They must not be growing. Forget it. Well, no. Come back a year later, and the first thing you'll do is, oh my goodness, Johnny. Wow, look how much you've grown. You see, being transformed by the Spirit is similar. Walking is slow, and transformation, sanctification, is usually a slow and unspectacular process. I mean, transformation is very rarely a pole jump. It's very rarely a pole vault. It's very rarely a long jump. It's unspectacular, and it's slow. It's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. But I can't tell you, friends, as a pastor, how many people have come up to me over the years with an emergency, and they expect me as their pastor to have the pole vault, to have the easy fix. It's It's comical, but it's sad. You know, Pastor Keith, listen, I'm sinking in debt, Pastor Keith. I'm about to be thrown out of my apartment. I mean, do you have the answer for me to pay off all my bills, Keith? I want to pole vault into the situation. I want to pole vault out of this debt problem. But the Bible's clear. It doesn't typically work like that. Yes, there are people who have the, I open up the mailbox and $10,000 were there. People have that story, but most often is the unspectacular, slow, boring, mundane, repeated actions, the little things every day, this conviction to change your purchasing habits. The Spirit says you've been redeemed. You don't need that to have identity. You don't need that to feel good. So change that purchasing habit. And so the Spirit of God moves and you change a little bit. Change your purchasing habits. Spend a little less. Earn a little more. Spend a little less. Earn a little more. Give some away. Cut up the credit cards. Get a side job. It's left foot, right foot. Left foot with God. Right foot with God. It's unspectacular, but that's typically how it works. Pastor Keith, my marriage is falling apart. My wife says she's going to leave me. You should preach a sermon on wives, submit to your husband instead of leave your husband, and that will fix it. As if my sermons have any power. It's not the way life works. If you're married, you want to have a great marriage. Monday morning, you wake up. Pray for your spouse, and you're kind. Tuesday morning, you wake up, and guess what? You're kind to them. And Wednesday morning, you wake up, and then you meet them at lunch for a counseling appointment. Friday comes, you go home, you cook dinner, and you pray with them. It's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And over time, hopefully, you'll have a great marriage, especially if both people are yielding to the Spirit of God. It's unspectacular, and it's slow. It is so slow. But it's walking with God, and eventually you'll get to the promised land, but there's a lot of slow, unspectacular walking along the way. And friends, the same is true with our walk with God. You got to understand this. The same is true with our relationship with God. Yes, dive head first into the waters of baptism. And there should be joy, and there should be this love, there should be this affection, and there are emotions that overwhelm at times for the desire with God, and it's amazing, and I love it, it's beautiful. There's this, at times, this overflowing gratitude and passion, and praise God for those moments. But most of the long-term journey, most of the long-term intimacy with God requires the unspectacular, slow process of walking, one foot in front of the other. Waking up Monday morning and choosing focused time with God instead of YouTube videos, Keith. Then Tuesday morning, choosing focused time with God. Then Wednesday, driving to work, and instead of turning the radio on, spending time in prayer to God. And Thursday night, coming to a Riverside home group instead of watching more YouTube videos, Keith. You know, Sunday morning coming here and being with other followers of Jesus. I didn't want to come here today, but I did. And I don't even see, I'm going to leave here today and see like nothing happened. It's the unspectacular slow process. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. But make no mistake, walking is slow and walking is unspectacular, but it does require perseverance, right? It absolutely requires perseverance. Walking requires it. Verse 25 says this, let us keep in step. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. Keep walking. Don't give up. Persevere. As a pastor, I've had many people come to me in the past. Not many. Some people come to me in the past and say, Keith, you know, I've tried counseling. It doesn't work. Maybe it's a broken marriage, you know. Maybe, you know, there's a broken marriage. Things are really bad. And they come to me and say, Keith, look, we tried counseling. It doesn't work. So I dig. I find out that after 25 years of marriage, with these cycles of destructive habits and 25 years of fighting like mortal enemies and 25 years of carrying around truckloads of resentment and grudges from 25 years of wounds and pain. And I say, well, tell me about your attempts of counseling. Well, we went 2 times. It didn't work. Really? Really, Sherlock? I mean, after 25 years of attacking and treating each other as mortal enemies every day, it's not fixed in 2 counseling sessions? You're right. Counseling does not work. Clearly doesn't work. It's not the answer. Friends, look, let me be very clear. I absolutely believe in praying for things like healing. I absolutely believe in praying for things like deliverance. I absolutely do think that God at times instantly heals things, and God will instantly deliver people, and God will instantly fix things. But usually the Christian growth is a result of a long process relying on God's grace and yielding to His Spirit and His ways and committing ourselves to the long process of walking with God and His people through prayer and through fellowship and through changed patterns and changed beliefs. Changed beliefs. Friends, there's almost never an easy one-step method. There's not. That's why I have such high respect for organizations like AA, because at least they're honest. And AA, at least they're honest. It's going to take 12 very long and very difficult steps. And then you're going to start back over, by the way. I mean, 12 long, long steps surrounded by community. And friends, most Christian growth, most transformation by the Spirit of God is not the instant zap. It's just not. It's the long, unspectacular, slow process that requires perseverance. Requires perseverance. Friends, it's one step is not walking. Johnny taking his first step is not walking. No, walking requires perseverance. Keep walking by the Spirit. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. And it will take a lifetime, friends. It'll take a lifetime. It will. It's slow. It's unspectacular. It requires perseverance. Oh, but friends, it's worth it. Don't miss this. It is so worth it, because eventually you'll see the change, both in you and around you. As you're changed, you minister more like Jesus and you change the world around you, partnered by His Spirit and the community of God. And eventually you'll realize things have changed. Relationships have grown. You're not as bitter as you used to be. There's this victory against oppression or injustice in our neighborhoods because we've been transformed and now we're doing the mission of God in our neighborhoods and we see oppression and injustice. The long haul. We want the instant zap. Oh, Keith, I tried it. It didn't work, so it must not be. No, it's the long work of justice and the long work of transformation. And friends, when you feel like giving up, and do we all feel like giving up at times? At just times you're like, I'm not going to walk. I'm done walking. I'll rely on the justification, but I'm done walking. There are times you feel like just being done walking. I know that. I want you to hear these passages. Philippians 3, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet taken hold of it. Guys, I have not delivered yet, but one thing I do. I've not taken hold of everything yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? So run to win the race. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. But the people of this world are doing it for a crown that will not last. But we do get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, don't run aimlessly. Don't shadow box. Don't be a shadow boxer. No, strike a blow to my body and I make it a slave. I persevere. Left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. And friends, this now I got to be careful here. Yes, we have a role to play. Yes, we put in the effort. Yes, you have a role to play. You have effort to make, but let us never forget that change does not come because of us, okay? It comes because we're walking not with Keith's intelligence, not walking with Riverside's intelligence, not walking with your pastor. You're walking with the Spirit of God. Remember, we're called to walk and by the Spirit. We're called to be led by the Spirit. It produces fruit by the Spirit. And then you're to live by the Spirit. And then you're to keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, friends, you cannot overcome your anxiety on your own. You will not beat back your pride on your own. You will not break down that addiction on your own. There's no way for you to take on these virtues of godly kindness, the virtue of godly humility, the fruits of godly love to the extent that Jesus is calling us to on your own. No, it's only left foot with the Spirit, right foot with the Spirit, left foot with the Spirit, and right foot with the Spirit. And the Bible is clear. We cannot be transformed. I, Keith, will never be sanctified through my own power. Amen to that. I will never be sanctified on my own power. We need the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the engine that drives. The Holy Spirit is the engine. I mean, imagine if I had a car, okay? It's a race car. Okay, now I have 5 kids. Imagine it's a minivan. I actually own a minivan. So I'm actually driving my minivan. Okay, I'm driving my minivan. I come to this huge hill. Keith, be humble. Keith, put down pride. Keith, take on humility. Take on love. This huge hill. And I'm driving this minivan. I come to it. I get to the bottom of the hill. I turn off the engine. I get out and I say, all right, here we go. And I try to push it all by myself up the hill. How far do you think I'm going to get before a heart attack? Before it rolls down and crushes me? Not very far. It would be a pretty dumb thing to do, right? No, Keith, rely on the engine. Turn the engine on. It goes up the hill. And friends, the engine of change is the Holy Spirit. It's walk by the Spirit, feed the Spirit, and be transformed by the Spirit. You have the fruits of the Spirit. The engine of change in our life is the Holy Spirit. And friends, this fall, we're going to teach a lot about how we do that. Our next series will be 8 weeks of teaching a lot about how we go about walking with the Spirit, like very practical ways of the slow, ordinary life of left foot, right foot. We're going to teach us how to give careful thought to our ways, our left foot, right foot with the Spirit, left foot with the Spirit, right foot with the Spirit, being transformed by the Spirit of God. So friends, that's where we're going this fall. We're going to spend a lot of time just focusing on how you live out left foot, right foot. That's where we're going. Lots of focus. Left foot, right foot. And again, this is all possible because we have a God that comes alongside us, right? A God that comes alongside us, that walks with us, evidenced by the Holy Spirit in our lives, and evidenced by the fact that 2,000 years ago, he came down and walked among us. He didn't just die for us. He also lived for us. He showed us how to live. He showed us what a sanctified person looks like to live. His life mattered. It matters. He showed us what it looks like to live transformed by the Spirit. And then, amazing, he dies in our place. He conquers our greatest foe, death, and he ascends to heaven where he's reigning at the right hand of the Father, and he sends the Spirit to continue walking with us. It's amazing. Our God walks with us. Our God walks with us through the mundane and through the amazing. And so right now, we're going to sing songs together with one voice. We sing because it's a way to unify our words to him. A way to unify our message to him as one voice, as one people group. We're going to sing songs to him again. And we're coming to the table of communion. We'll remember he physically came. At the table of communion, we have these two elements. We have the cracker and the cup, the wafer and the cup. And they represent his body and his blood. Like his physical walking on the earth, his physical death, his physical bodily resurrection. That justifies us. And his continued presence in us. We put these elements in us and it remembers, oh, his Spirit is in me, this continual sanctification process. So would you stand with me as we pray? Sing some songs and then come to the table of communion. Come when you prepared your heart, which means people will come when they feel led on their own. We won't come row by row. You take the elements back to your seat and eat and drink as you're led. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the work you've done in my life. And I just, man, there is so much more to be transformed. I think of how angry I used to be and how lustful I used to be and how selfish ambition I used to be. And it's amazing where you have taken me and taken us. We've taken this church this past 10 years. We're celebrating 10 years this month, guys. What an amazing thing you've done. But God, we're so excited about the future, about your continued work, transforming us and transforming this city. As you change us, we become ministers of your gospel to do the ministry with you, what to talk about next week. We're not just transformed for ourselves, we're transformed for the world. We thank you, God, for your presence and your power and your grace. We worship you right now, Jesus, together with one voice. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.